Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
It's January 19th, and we are in Sefer Daniel. We are up to Perek Hey, the fifth chapter. And tonight is the handwriting on the wall. That's why we have the handwriting on the board. Who knows what it said in the handwriting on the wall?
A little bit.
Well, it said one of the things on the board there. None of which should be understandable.
Well, it says that his kingdom is going to end.
But yeah, but it didn't say it in English.
No. It was a hand of God.
It didn't say it in English, nor did it say it in Hebrew, nor did it say it.
Well, it was Mina Mina. I mean.
Right. Okay, so we're going to see. We'll see as we go through. Belshazzar Malka Avad L'chem Rav. Belshazzar the king made a huge party. L'Rav Rav Anohi Alaf. For his many leaders of state. Vilakavel Alpha Chamra Shasei, and he drank the equivalent of that which 1,000 men drink. Now, even if that's an exaggeration, it meant that he drank a great deal. Belshazzar Amar B'Teim Chamra. Belshazzar said when he was good and drunk, Lahaisaya Lamane Dav of Achaspa, to bring out the utensils of gold and silver. Dihanpek Nevuchadnezzar Avuhi. Min hechla divi Yerushalayim, that Nebuchadnezzar, his father, had taken from the sanctuary in Yerushalayim. V'yishton brahon, and they should drink with them, Malka v'Rav Rav Anohi, the king and his cabinet, Shaglasei, his queen, Ulechenasei, and his concubines. They should all use these utensils to drink from. Beidayin haisiu mane dava, then they brought the gold utensils, the hanpiku min hechla divesa laka divyushalem, that they had taken from the sanctuary of Hashem in Yerushalayim, the yishtiu bahon, and they drank with them, malka v'rav Rav Anohi, shaglase ulechenase, the king and his cabinet, the queen and his concubines. Yishtiu chamra, they drank wine, v'shabachu, and they praised Avna. They praise the gods of gold, silver, copper, iron, wood, and stone.
Statues,
right? So they were drinking and using the utensils of the Beis Hamikdash, and they were praising Avodah Zarah, idolatry. Ba'ashasa, at that moment, Nifaka. Etzba'an di yad enosh. It came out, Rashi says, from heaven, fingers of a man. V'chasvan l'kavel nevrashta. And it wrote across from the chandelier. They had a huge chandelier that gave off light. And on across from it, so everybody could see, right in front of the light, it wrote, Al Gira di Chesal Hechla di Malka, on the plaster, thank you. That was on the wall of the palace of the king. Umalka Chazay, and the king saw Pas Yada di Chasva, the palm of the hand that was doing the writing. So these fingers came out from heaven and wrote on the wall. Rashi explains, or actually the Malbim explains, that the plaster implies it was very high up. It wasn't low enough where a regular person could have written it without a ladder. It was high up on the wall. And it was right in front of the chandelier so everyone could see it. And it wrote, and the king saw the hand that did the writing. It sounds from the Pasuk that the people only saw the fingers while the king saw the whole hand. Doing the writing. Edayin Malka Zivohi Shinohi, then the king, the shine of his face changed, his complexion changed. Virayonohi Yivahalune, and his thoughts were confused. V'kitre charze mishtarayin. Now this literally means the tie that was around his waist, which would be a belt, came loose. Which it sounds from Rashi that he had some sort of affliction, which sounds much like a hernia. That's what it sounds like. It sounds like he got so agitated that the innards came loose, and that forced open the belt that he was wearing. V'arkubase, and his knees dalada nakshan, banged one against one to the other. Literally, his knees banged together. He was terribly frightened. Karimalka b'chayal, the king called with strength. Leha'ala le'ashvaya kasda'e v'gazraya. He called to bring before him all of the wise men of Bava. We've heard this before. All the different categories of sorcerers and astrologers, etc. Ane malka v'amar, the king called out and he said, L'chakime v'avol, to the wise men of Avol, T'cholenosh di'yikre chesava dina, any man who could read this writing, u'fishre yechavinani, and its interpretation could tell me, argivana yilvash, he will wear this argivana, which is expensive clothing, v'heim nicha didava al tzavrei, and a gold necklace around his neck, v'salti v'malchusa yishlat, and he will have control over a third of my kingdom. I'll give away a third of my kingdom to him if he can read this writing and interpret it. It sounds like not only could they not interpret it, they couldn't read it either. Edayin olilin kol chakime malka, then if they came in, all the wise men of the king, and they could not read the writing, nor could they give the interpretation to the king. Then the king Belshazzar became very upset, very confused. And again, his complexion changed. And his cabinet members were also confused. So everybody was very upset. They didn't know what to do. Everybody was major confusion going on. They're all upset and not knowing what to do. Malkissa lakavel mile malka v'ravavanohi. The queen, when at the commotion of the king and his cabinet members, labased mishtiya alalas. She came into the feasting hall. Anas, apparently she was out at the time that the writing happened. Or maybe she was out after the writing happened. She wasn't there at this moment. Anas Malkisava Ameris, the queen called out and said, Malka la'olmin chayi, the king should live forever. Ali bahaluch rayonach, your thoughts should not confuse you. Vizivach al yishtanu, and your complexion should not change. Isai Givar b'malchusach, there is a man in your kingdom. Di ruach elokin kadishin bay, that the spirit of the holy God is in him. Uviyome avuch, and in the days of your father, meaning Nebuchadnezzar, nahiru v'sachlesanu v'chachma kechachmas elokin hishtachas bay. So in the day of your father, it shone forth. It was known his wisdom and his knowledge, like the wisdom of God that was found in him. Umalka Nebuchadnezzar avuch, and the king Nebuchadnezzar, your father, Rav Chartumin Ashvin Kastain Gazrin Hakime avuch Malka, the chief of all of the sorcerers and wise men, your father appointed him, made him to be the head, the chief of all of the wise men. Kol kavel diruach yatira umanda v'sachlesana, because he had an abundance of knowledge and wisdom. Mefashar chelmin, he was able to interpret dreams. The achavayas achidon, and to explain secrets. umishare kitrin, and to unravel
knots,
right, but it means mysteries,
riddles,
right. But riddles is the right word. Excellent. Hishtechachas bei, it was found in him, this ability was found in him, b'Daniel, in Daniel. The Malka sam shmei Belshazzar, that the king called him Belshazzar. Ka'an Daniel yiskerei, now Daniel should be called ufishro yehachavei, and the interpretation he will say. So now, the king, let's get his name exactly right, Belshazzar will call Daniel in, and Daniel will then go on to explain the handwriting on the wall. So we will continue in a moment. Let's get our bearings of what is going on over here and explain some of the interesting nuances that we've read.
Excuse me, are they both called Belshazzar?
Ah, that's a good point. Okay, so we'll get to that. Okay, there's an extra test in Daniel's name, Belshazzar. And the king is Belshazzar. But okay, but still, very, very simple. That's a very good point. Nebuchadnezzar, we know, ruled, and we know that he destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Nebuchadnezzar ruled for 45 years. He ruled for 45 years. So if we call his rule is starting in year 1, and then he conquered Yerushalayim, and we've gone through this before, that there were actually several conquerings of Yerushalayim, but finally Yechoniah the king was taken into exile, and that's when the Cheresh HaMasker, that's when all of the wise men of the Jews, all the Nevi'im and all of the Chachamim were taken to Bavel. That included, as we've said many times, who? Yechezkel, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, Mordechai. They were all taken at that time. That was in the 8th year of Nebuchadnezzar. Then he established a puppet king, that would be Tzidkiyahu, who was a tzaddik. And how many years later was the actual destruction? 11 years later. That would be year 19 of Nebuchadnezzar. That was the destruction. Nebuchadnezzar then ruled for another 36 years until he ruled for 45 years in total. 45 years. At that point, his son, Evil-Merodach, became king. Evil-Merodach ruled for 23 years. And then he died, and Belshazzar, who was another son of Nebuchadnezzar, we don't know if he was a full or half brother of Evil-Merodach, but he was certainly a brother of Evil-Merodach, he became king in year 68 of Nebuchadnezzar, since Nebuchadnezzar took over Babel. The handwriting on the wall was 3 years later. It's really after 2 years later. 3 years later, it's in year 71. That's when the handwriting was. Yeah?
Daniel was a young man when he was first given all the honor from Nebuchadnezzar.
Correct.
So how much older is he now? Is he an old man? Is he 40?
Well, he's got to be at least... He was, well, we don't know exactly how old he was at this point, but we estimated around 10, something like that, 11, 12, somewhere in there. We didn't know exactly how old he was, but it was something like that in year 8. So we're talking about a man right now in his late 70s or early 80s.
Okay.
Now, he's going to live longer than this because we're going to find him in the Purim story. So he lives a long time. Daniel lives a long time. So... Why are the numbers significant? So I've gone through this before, that it was well known, both amongst the Jews and the non-Jews, that the exile of the Jewish people would be for 70 years. It was known that there was a prophecy that if that the exile would go on for 70 years. This was a well-known fact. The question is, when do you start counting the 70 years from? This, it was clear in the prophecy that the word Bavel was used. The assumption that Belshazzar made was the 70 years begins with the beginning of Bavel. Now, Bavel started essentially with Nebuchadnezzar, because that's when Bavel became world power. Before Nebuchadnezzar, there was nothing significant about Bavel. Nebuchadnezzar turned Bavel into a world power. And from that point on, the count began. Why was it significant? Because all of the nations of the world were watching. Because everybody was afraid of the God of the Jews. Even though Nebuchadnezzar had destroyed the Beis HaMikdash and had taken the Jews into exile, but they understood the Jews sinned. If the Jews sinned, they could be punished and the Beis HaMikdash could be destroyed and they'd be taken into exile. But that doesn't prove that they are forsaken forever. And all the non-Jews were looking to show that the Jews have been forsaken forever. That they were at one time the chosen nation, but no longer are they the chosen nation. What the Christian religion put into practice much later in history, this revisionist history that the Jews are no longer the chosen people, this was the hope of the nations of the world at the time. What would prove that the Jews were no longer chosen would be the end of the 70 years and no redemption, with no second Beis HaMikdash. That's what they were watching for. And they counted. So Nebuchadnezzar was year 1, and Evel Merodach died before year 70. Belshazzar became king in year 68, and he's nervous because one of two things could happen. After 2 years of his reign, he knows one of two things is going to happen. Either the Jews are going to be redeemed, and if the Jews are redeemed, then that means his power, if he's not killed, his power will certainly be significantly diminished. That's for sure going to happen. Or the Jews are not going to be redeemed, and then we can prove that they're no longer the chosen people, and God is off playing golf. We don't need to worry about God. Hashem is no longer interested in this world, and we don't need to bother with Hashem. We can do whatever we please. We have all our idolatries, and that's that. He waited and waited for 2 years. The 2 years ended. The third year began. No redemption. Says Belshazzar, wonderful. He throws a massive party, drinks until he's drunk. totally drunk, takes out the utensils of the Beis HaMikdash. There's something which no one dared do before. Even Nebuchadnezzar wouldn't have dared do that. And he starts drinking using the utensils of the Beis HaMikdash. And then the handwriting comes on the wall. And now he's terrified. Because that handwriting is from God. It's from Hashem. Evidently, Hashem is not out playing golf. And now he's terrified. What is the handwriting doing here? The 70 years are over. What could have gone wrong? So he's terrified. Something has gone wrong. What has gone wrong? He needs to know. What do those words say? Now, there's more going on at this time besides this. It was at this time, right before he threw the party, that Bavel, the kingdom of Bavel, which was the most powerful nation in the world, in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, he ruled over the entire world. Since his time, their power has waned a little bit, but it's still the most powerful force in the world. The challenging power of the world was Paras Umadai. The Persian Mede Empire was growing and began to challenge Bavel. They had a massive battle, and this battle was for the domination of the world, and Bavel won the battle. Belshazzar and his army defeated the armies of Paras Umadai. And he came back and threw this massive party and took out the utensils of the Beis HaMikdash. That's also going on concurrently. He made a mistake, obviously. The handwriting on the wall is going to come, and we're going to see what it said. And then that night, the armies of Paras Umadai regroup, while the party is going on, they regroup, they launch a counterattack, they defeat the Babylonian army, and Paras Umadai becomes the dominating power in the world that very night. That's what's going on in the backdrop of this whole party. Now, what was his mistake? His mistake was several mistakes. The first mistake was he counted from Bavel when he should have counted from? Okay. Well, at least from the Yechoniah exile. What's that?
Not from destruction.
Okay. We're going to see, as we move along, that we know that there's another king who makes a big party in the third year of his reign. Achashverosh. Achashverosh says, Belshazzar, he counted, he didn't know how to count. I know how to count. He counted from here. He should have counted from here. So Achashverosh waits until another 7 years pass. Now, it's not 7 years from when Achashverosh takes power, because there's another king in between. There's the kings of Daryavish and Koresh, which are going to come between Belshazzar and Achashverosh. Daryavish and Koresh are going to be the ones, we haven't yet had Daniel in the pit with the lion. With the lions. That's coming up still. That's after Belshazzar's rule. So we have more things going on before Achashverosh takes the throne. When he takes the throne, he also waits 2 years until he thinks it's 70 years from this point. And then in the third year of his reign, he throws a massive party. And he also takes out the utensils of the Beis HaMikdash, which is why when we read the Megillah and we say the words V'kelim, Michelim Shonim, that there were utensils that were unusual utensils, that is a reference to the utensils of the Beis HaMikdash, and that's why those three words, the one reading the Megillah changes the tune from the Megillah tune, which is a festive tune, to the Eicha tune, which is a tune of sadness, because that's a reference to using the utensils of the Beis HaMikdash, and that's why he does it. And so Achashverosh does it as well. Achashverosh also made a mistake, because he shouldn't have counted from here, rather he should have counted from here, from the destruction. So they're both making a mistake. There's other mistakes going on, which as the Gemara points out, that these years are inexact. These are the years that the non-Jews used to count their kings, but they made mistakes in half years. Because what they would do is, when a new king became king, they would say that's year one. So for instance, if Nebuchadnezzar only ruled for 44 and a half years, they would call it 45 because he was already in his 45th year. And then if Evil-Merodach ruled for 22 and a half years, they would call it 23 because he was in his 23rd year. So theoretically, Belshazzar could have only been in the 67th year, not the 68th year. They kept doing that. And so there were half years that were counted as whole years, and there were mistakes. Whatever it is, they made a mistake in the count. But that's what's going on over here. The 70 years is the crucial point that they are focused on. Yes,
Sasha. Yeah.
Now,
are you saying
that there are two parties are going on, or they're totally at different
parties? Not at the same time.
10 years?
No, 7 years later, there was another party.
So, he had, officers had access to utensils.
Once the Persians and Medes took over, they were now the dominant power in the world, and they had access to whatever the Babylonians had before them. They took over the kingdom of Babel. That battle was the decisive battle. And now Babel becomes a has-been, and Paras Umadai become the power of the world.
So they took all the utensils back to their...
Wherever they put them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's always been a question for me. How long was a year in those days? Was a year as our year is now? I don't know that that's so. Because you're talking about someone living for 150 years or 200 years.
It was the same. They counted solar years. I mean, they counted using the zodiac.
So what is it attributed to that a person would live such a long life? What? How could that be?
People live long.
In those days, but we have people who maybe lived to 109 or 110, but not for 200 years.
Most people didn't live so long. It depends what you mean. Do you mean from in the time of like before the flood.
Mm-hmm.
Before the flood was a whole different system. Then typically people lived into the hundreds and hundreds of years. But after the flood, then people typically lived like we live. But there were some individuals who lived a very long time.
But it also, I understand that people would just die. They would just drop over.
Not once we're getting into the stories of the Torah.
No?
No. That happens. I mean, there's a discussion of when there began to be sickness before death. But it seems that it starts with Yaakov. But that's way, way, way back. Once you get to the Jews in Egypt and all that, then it's like us. Certainly, all of this is like us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you think significance in Pasuk Dalet that when they praise the gods of gold, silver, copper, iron, wood, and silver, exactly the way that the statue and the Chametz had made of themselves?
It could be. There was no stone in that statue. So it could be, but I think it's just all the material.
It's the one that matched it.
I know. I think it's just all the different materials that statues are made out of.
Mm-hmm.
Building materials. There is a discussion over who this queen is that is coming in to tell Belshazzar to call in Daniel. The simple meaning is that it's his wife. Although there is a suggestion made amongst the commentaries it might be his mother. It might be the queen of Nebuchadnezzar who might still be living, who is telling her son that, doesn't he call him Daniel? Now the question is, how on earth did he not know to call him Daniel? I mean, we saw over and over and over again already in the time of Nebuchadnezzar how often Daniel he outshined all the other wise men, and he was given this incredible post in the government. How could it be that Nebuchadnezzar's son can't even remember to call in Daniel?
They couldn't remember Yosef.
Okay, so they couldn't remember Yosef. You see, it's clear to me that what is going on here is very similar to what went on in Shmos with Yosef. That a new king came, Asher lo yada as Yosef. They didn't know Yosef. And we said on that, it doesn't mean that he didn't know him, but he acted as if he did not know him. Because he didn't want to deal with the history of Yosef. It seems clear that Belshazzar had no interest in promoting Daniel or being involved with Daniel. And it takes the queen to come in and basically slap him in the face and say, you got to call in Daniel. What are you so getting so agitated over? Call in the person who has proven himself to be able to deal with these sorts of situations.
Do you think he was afraid of the truth?
He might have been afraid of the truth. He might have been. We see very interestingly that in stark contrast to Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar does not threaten the wise men. He offers a reward. He doesn't threaten. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar was, if you don't tell me the answer, I'm going to kill all of you and I'm going to destroy your houses and, you know, everything is a threat. Belshazzar offers a reward. Now, the interesting thing about the names, that Daniel was given the name Belshazzar and Nebuchadnezzar named his own son Belshazzar, and that was considered a praiseworthy name. So, that could also be part of the dynamic over here. The Malbim understands that the reason why the queen said Daniel's name as Daniel is because at that point it was improper to use the Belshazzar name, since that was the name of the king himself. Mm-hmm. So you wouldn't call one of the subjects of the king by the king's name. And so she says to call him Daniel. So now let us read what happens with Daniel coming into the king, starting with Yud Gimel 13. Beidayin Daniel hu'al kadam malka. And then Daniel was brought in front of the king. Anei malka va'amar la Daniel. The king called out and said to Daniel, Antu Daniel, you are Daniel. Or are you Daniel? Din min b'nei galusa diyuhud. That from the those of the exile of the Jews, di haisi malka avi min yuhud, that my father the king brought from Israel, from Min Yehud, from the Jews. The Shimeis Alach, and I have heard about you. The Ruach Elokin Bach, the Spirit of God is in you. V'nahiru v'sachlesanu v'chachma yatira hishtechachas Bach. And various words for wisdom and knowledge are a great degree of wisdom and knowledge are found in you. Ucha'an, and now hu alu kadamai, they've been brought before me. Chakimaya ashfaya dichisava dina yikron, the wise men and the sorcerers, that they should read this writing. Ufishrei lehoda usani, and its interpretation to tell me. V'la chahalin pishar milsa lehachavaya, and it was not possible to read or to understand this thing. They couldn't read it. V'anah shimei salach, and I heard about you. D'sikul pishrin lemifshar, that you are able to explain mysteries. V'kitrin, or secrets. V'kitrin lemishrei, and mysteries to unravel. Ka'an hein tikul kisava lemikrei, now can you read this writing. Ufishrei lehaudusani, and its interpretation to tell me. Argivana silbash, you will wear this expensive clothing, this royal clothing. V'hamicha didav al tavrach, and a golden necklace on your neck. V'salta v'malchusa tishlat, and you will rule over a third of the kingdom. Now that's a wonderful thing to offer. But if you know the interpretation of the writing of the wall means that Belshazzar is about to lose his kingdom, then that's not necessarily the best offer. Beidayin, and then Anei Daniel. Daniel answered. Va'amar, he said, Kadam Malka, in front of the king. Matnasach lach lehavyan, your presence you can keep. Univazbiyasach la'acharon hav, and your gifts give to someone else. Biram kesava ekre lamalka, but however, the writing I will read for the king. Ufishra ahod iine, and I will let him know the interpretation. And now before he tells him what it says, he first gives him a little bit of a history lesson. Ant Malka, you the king, Elaka Ila'a Malchusa Urevusa Vyakara Vahadra, the God above, a large and precious and majestic kingdom, Yahav Nebuchadnezzar, Avuch, he gave to Nebuchadnezzar your father. Umi Revusa Diyahav Lei, and from the greatness that he gave him, part of the greatness was Kol Amamaya Umaya Velishnaya, all the different nations and languages and peoples, Havozoin Vidochalin Min Kadamo, he were afraid and trembled before him. Dihavat Saveh, whomever he wished, Havakatel, he killed. Vidihavat Saveh, and whoever he wished, Havamache, he would make live. Vidihavat Saveh, whomever he wished, Havamarim, he would lift up. Vidihavat Saveh, whomever he wished, Havamashfil, he would diminish, he would lower. Your father had incredible power. Uchidirim Liveveh, and when his heart became haughty, Viruchei Tikfas Lahazadah, and his spirit became high and mighty. Hanchas min karse malchuse, he was lowered from the throne of his kingdom. Fiakara he'ediv mine, and his majesty was taken from him. Umin bine anasha tarid, and he was chased away from people. Velivave im chevsa shavi, and his heart became like that of an animal. Vim arodaya midore, and he lived with the arodaya. Arodaya is a type of lizard. Ispra chesaron yitaamune, grass like oxen was tasty for him. Umital shemaya gishmei yitzeba, and from the dew of the heavens and its rain he was soaked. Now as he lived out in the open. Adi yeda, until he knew, di shalit elaka ila'a b'machus enasha, that the great God above controls the kingdom of man. Ulaman diyitzbein, to whomever he wishes, Yahakem Alei, he will establish on it. Hashem can put whomever he wishes in charge of kingdom of man. Va'ant brei Belshazzar, and you, his son Belshazzar, la hashpelt livavach, you did not lower your heart. You weren't humble, right? You didn't humble your heart. Even though you knew all of this, whatever I'm telling you is not news. You knew it all, and you chose to ignore it. Valmarei Shemaya Hisramamta, and you have been haughty over the Master of Heaven. Ulemanaya Divaisei, and for the utensils of his house, Haisiv Kadamach, you brought before you. Va'ant v'Rav Ravanach, and you and your cabinet members, Shag Sheg Lasach Ulechenasach, your queen and your concubine, Chamra Shasayin Bahon, you drank wine in them. And to the gods of silver and gold and copper and iron and wood and stone, Dilo Chazayin, that cannot see, Velo Shaman, and cannot hear, Velo Yanin, and cannot know, Shibachta, you praised. Velo Alaka Dinish Mesach Bidei, and to the God that your soul is in His hands, V'cholar Chosach Lei, and all your ways are His, Lahadarta, you didn't acknowledge, you didn't praise. Beidayin Min Kadamohi, therefore, from before Him, Shliach Pasa Diyada, the palm of a hand was sent. You notice that Daniel uses the word palm of the hand rather than fingers. This was a tip-off that Daniel knew what the king himself had seen and no one else had seen. Everybody else had seen only fingers. He saw the whole hand. Daniel mentions the hand, which shows Belshazzar that Daniel knows what he himself saw, even though no one else did. Uchesava dina rishim, in this writing, he wrote. Udina chesava di rishim, and this is the writing that he wrote. Minei, minei, tekel, ufarsin. That's what it said on the wall. Minei, minei, tekel, ufarsin. Now, the next pasuk, next two psukim, next three psukim, will tell us what those words mean. But those are the words that it said. Now, it's clear that not only did they not know what it meant, they didn't know what it said. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin wants to understand why could no one read it. There were Jews there as well. They should have been able to read the writing. The writing, it's in Aramaic, it's in Aramis, and even though it uses Hebrew lettering, but they should have been able to read it because they knew Hebrew lettering. There were Jews there and those who understood the Hebrew alphabet, and they should have been able to read it. Even if they couldn't understand it, they should have been able to read it. There is a difference of opinion in the Gemara why they couldn't read it. One opinion is that it was written in code.
Okay. So, within that opinion that it was in code, there are four possible codes that were there. That's one opinion. The other opinion is that it was in a different alphabet that they weren't used to. And this gets into the two Hebrew alphabets, the two types of Hebrew alphabets, Ksav Ashuris and Ksav Ivris. So I want to start with the codes because we have that on the board, and if we run out of time, then next week we'll talk about the two different alphabets. Of course, we haven't gotten to what the words mean yet, but first let's deal with the words themselves, and this is what it says on the wall. So they couldn't read it because although the words Monei, Monei, Takeo, Farsin mean something, and they mean something in Aramis, in Aramaic, and they should have been able to read that. They should have been able to read it. Mine, mine, tekelu farsin. But the code that it was in was nonsense, and therefore they couldn't read it. Now, let's see if we can figure out the code. These are the four opinions. So, one opinion is, let's take the easiest one, was that it was written like this. Neme, neme, ketel porsin. Now, I realize it's hard to let's take the top one first. A name, a name, lakas nisrafu. I know it's hard to see every letter and it's written in Hebrew. A name, lakas nisrafu. Basically, this is the same things backwards. Right, you see it? Instead of mem nun aleph, it's aleph nun mem. Aleph nun mem. Instead of taf kuf lamed, it's lamed kuf taf. Ufar sin, it's backwards. Nisrafu. So it was written backwards, and they didn't understand what it meant. Because even the words, minei minei tekel ufarsin, even though the words mean something, it's not an easy sentence to read. It still needs interpretation. So, it's easy to know that words are backwards if when you read them the other way, it spells out a regular sentence. So, if you have a sentence that is written, it's just written backwards.
No.
Okay? See? So that's not so hard to figure out. Oh, he went to the store because it's all backwards.
Yeah.
Right? So you can figure that out. But if after you put it the other way, it comes out to be something like store, lampshade, yard, fingernails, you know. So then if it comes out to be what seems to be nonsense, then you don't think you got it right. You don't think you got the words right. So although these words would make sense, but if they were written backwards, they didn't understand what it was. That's one interpretation. The other suggestion is, that it was the same words, but the first two letters were rearranged. Neme, neme, just switch the mem and the nun, ketel instead of tekel, instead of ufar sin, poor sin. Those are pretty simple. The other ones are more complicated. Now, I want to tell you that when I was in the Kollel in Columbus, in the Columbus Community Kollel, I had a Sunday morning shiur for boys in that year. It was probably, it grew as time went on. That year it was probably 5th and 6th graders. I don't remember, it was 5th and 6th graders. Maybe it was 4th and 5th graders. Boys. And I told them the story of Daniel, and I put the words on the board, and I put the different codes down, and I asked them to tell me, look at these letters, and tell me how the code works out. So they easily figured out the first two. The third one took a little while, but they figured it out. The fourth one stumped everybody, and I offered $1 to any of the boys who could figure it out. And there was one boy, I still remember his name, I still know who it was. There was one boy who figured out the fourth one as well. And then you see, when I tell you what it is, it's very impressive that he figured it out. So, what's the third one? The third one is somewhat complicated, but it's not absolutely impossible. Again, you have to see it well to be able to read it, and you got to know the Hebrew letters. But I'll give you a minute if anybody can try to figure that one out.
First letter,
first word,
and then the second letters of every word.
Okay, so it's like this.
It's every fourth.
You take each letter. Mem, nun, aleph. Mem, nun, aleph. Right? Then tuf, kuf, lamed. And then you have the last letters. Vav, pei, resh, samach. I messed this up. That should be a yud. Yud, nun. Let's put that down properly. That should be good. Okay? That's the third one. The fourth one is very difficult to figure out. Exactly, how does these words, yatas, yatas, adach, pug, chamat?
No.
Sounds like talking to an Arab. How do those words come out to mene, mene, tekel, farsin? That's a little bit more difficult. And, it's a riddle, so I don't want to just give it away, but there was a boy there who figured it out. Now, bear in mind that it's wonderful to figure it out, but we're all starting with the solution and just trying to figure out how you get from here to there. Daniel didn't have the solution. He just went from here to there, whatever the code was. So, what is the code here? Yitas, yitas, adach, pug, chamat. So I'm going to give you a hint. What is it?
Substituting the letters, but going in the reverse alphabet. Yeah.
Well, going in the reverse alphabet. How does
Tough and Aleph? Is it Tough?
What's that?
Tough and Aleph.
Well, it's Tough and Aleph are reversed. They're at the first and the last.
Okay.
The third word.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
Like it.
Good. So it uses. You may have heard the term atbash. Atbash means you take the first and last letter of the alphabet and then you switch them.
Right.
Aleph is tough.
Right.
Beis, shin. Gimel, dalet. Sorry. Gimel, resh. Dalet, kuf. Hey, sadi. Vav, pei. Zayin, ayin. Ches is samach. Tes is nun. Yud is mem.
and then there's Kaf. Right? You would know. And Kaf is Lamed. So. And you just switch them. So the Mem of Mene becomes a Yud. The Nun becomes a Tes. The Aleph becomes a Tuf. Again, same thing with this word. Tuf becomes an Aleph. Kuf becomes a Dalid. Lamed becomes a Kaf. Vav becomes a Pei. Pei becomes a Vav. Resh becomes a Gimel, etc. Samach becomes a right. Samach a Ches. Yud becomes a Mem, right. And Nun becomes a Tes. So that is the other way that it could have been. So the first thing Daniel says is, you want to know what the real words are. These are the real words. Now he has to say, what do the real words mean? And that's the next step. But again, this is only one opinion in the Gemara that was in code. The other opinion is that, no, it actually said, Minei, Minei, Tekelu, Farsin, but they still couldn't read it because they weren't used to the letters. The letters looked funny. It looked strange. And we need to discuss what they are. Okay. We're going to stop here.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to torahmediaatlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.